Thank you for listening to this message. The title is Faith Proven by Obedience. And this is part of our ongoing mini series on fixing our eyes on Jesus. What I'll be speaking about today is the relationship between faith and obedience. In terms of definition, faith is having complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Obedience is, of course, following the instructions or compliance with what someone said we should do. In worldly terms, faith will be based on evidence of what you can prove. For example, you believe a chair will take your weight and will not collapse when you sit on it, because either you have sat on it before or because you can see that it is strong enough to hold your weight. Spiritual faith, however, is based on conviction rather than proof. For example, I believe God exists, not because I have seen him physically, but because I am fully convinced of his existence. You see, the good news of salvation, and indeed all the promises of God in his word and through the Holy Spirit, will only have value if they are received with faith. So in order to carry everyone along with this message, I would like to speak briefly about saving faith. Faith, including saving faith, comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible stated clearly in Romans chapter 10 verse 17 that consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So I would like to tell you about Christ today, in case you don't know him or you're beginning to forget about who he is. You see, Jesus Christ is God, the only incarnate Son of God. It was through him that everything was made, and without him, nothing was made that has been made. He is in charge of everything. He sustains all things by his powerful word. That is God. On the other hand, we humans are nothing. We are created from dust, and to dust we will return. We cannot determine what will happen to us in the next minute. We are prone to evil, and our heart is desperately wicked. No wonder we break God's laws and do things that make God angry with us all the time. The Bible calls this sin, and therefore we are all sinners. When we sin and disobey God, we deserve to be punished. The Bible says the punishment for disobeying God is death, which is complete separation from God forever in hell. The first people to break the laws were Adam and Eve. God gave them freedom over everything in the Garden of Eden and told them one thing, just one thing, not to do. They couldn't obey God, even on that one thing. If we look at our lives as individuals, we would know that we are just like them. God gave us so much freedom over a lot of things, but we still fail each time on obeying the commands of God. So we are all sinners. When we sin and disobey God, we deserve to be punished. But because God loves us, He provided a way for us to be rescued from that punishment. He sent His Son Jesus to earth to come and pay the penalty for our sins. God demonstrated His love for us, that whilst we are still sinners, even before we accepted His gift, Jesus Christ died for us. Jesus is the only one who is qualified to be our high priest, to make that sacrifice for us. Because He came to the world fully human, He kept all of God's laws, He never sinned, even though He was tested, just as we are being tested right now. Jesus did not deserve to die, but He willingly chose to take our punishment and die in our place. As our substitute, Jesus was our substitute on that cross of Calvary. The good news is that when Jesus died, He did not stay dead. God brought Him back to life after 3 days, and He's still alive today on the right-hand side of the throne of God the Father. This shows us that God accepted Jesus' perfect sacrifice for our sins. Saving faith is when you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is not by obeying all the commands of God, because no one can do that perfectly in this world. We are saved by grace, by our faith in Jesus Christ. In order to be rescued from sin and punishment, you need to ask God to forgive you for breaking His laws and for sinning. You need to believe that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross to take away your sins, and that He came back to life after 3 days, proving that He will also raise you on the last day. You can then ask Jesus to come into your life and help you to become a new creation and to live a life of obedience. If you believe that statement in your heart and you confess it with your mouth and you put that faith into practice, you have received the saving faith and you have eternal life with God. Praise God. I thank God that many people listening to this message are already saved into the kingdom of God. What we are doing right now is to work out our salvation so that we can be sure that we are ready for Christ when He returns for His church. Okay, you see, Jesus is coming back, not as that gentle baby in a manger. Jesus is coming back to reign, to rule the world, and to exert punishment on the wicked. So we need to make sure that we are ready to face Jesus when He returns. We may be called home sooner than we are thinking. We need to be ready that if we are to die today, that we are ready to face Jesus. Because the dead, whether good or bad, we all rise back to life, and they will face their judgment. So this is very important for us. We need to be asking ourselves, is my faith genuine? And the best way to measure that individually is by checking on how much we are obedient to the Word of God and what the Holy Spirit is telling us. The proof of our faith is our obedience. And let me be clear that I'm not talking about legalistic, you know, ritual obedience, you know, going to church in the home, you know, doing certain things. No, I'm talking about what God is saying to you as an individual when you ask Him. Are you following that? Are you obeying God in what He's asking you to do as a person? as we have been learning in recent weeks. Many of the people of Israel did not enter the rest that God promised them because of their unbelief, which led to the sin of disobedience and to death in the wilderness. They are an example of what we must avoid in order to enter God's ongoing offering of rest. The warning for us is to be careful not to fall short of the promise of God's rest. And the encouragement is for us to make every effort to obey God, which is the true demonstration of our faith in Him. I will now read from our main text for today's passage. That is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who believed. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet His works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere He has spoken about the seventh day in this world. On the seventh day, God rested from all His works. And again, in the passage above, He says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This He did when a long time later He spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Unquote. What the Bible teaches us is that if a person continues to sin, it is because God's word does not motivate him or her to obedience to what He teaches. In a worst case scenario, either that person does not believe God, or his belief is so weak that he cannot bring himself to trust Him. That is showing a lack of faith. We must understand that our God is not what we say we worship, but what we serve. Our God is what we give our lives over to. That is why Jesus said, "You cannot serve God and money." We cannot say we're serving God when all what we are rushing about to do is to make money. That's just one example. As I mentioned already, the Bible describes faith in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 as something we have not seen. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. The Apostle James wrote in James 2 from verse 14 to 26 about faith and deeds. And his conclusion is that faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. The Apostle challenged all of us in the statement where he said, "Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds." You believe there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. As we have been learning, the problem with those Israelites is that they did not put their faith and their belief into action. Despite all the miracles they saw God performed on their behalf, they did not trust what God says. So we have to learn from that. So how can we make sure that our faith is matched by obedience? You see, faith comes by hearing, and then it becomes a thing of the heart. I have heard someone explain that the distance between heaven and hell is only 30 centimeters. This person was referring to the distance from our head, where we keep our knowledge, and to our heart, which is where we keep what we actually believe. And we learned from last week's sermon that some of the reasons why we have unbelief in our hearts are because we are over familiar with God. We think we know it all. We think we have arrived. We think we have nothing else to learn. Other issues are anger, pride, ego, greed. And we need to be careful and mindful of all these things that causes our hearts to harden. According to scripture, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. So as long as we are in this world, we run the risk of falling into sin. And that is why we need to work out our salvation with due diligence, or in other translation, with fear and trembling. So we need to know how we can make sure our heart is right with God. I would like to propose one test for our heart, and I would like to propose one solution. But the test and the solution are two sides of the same coin, and you know it already. But this is a reminder for all of us. The test is that we must check ourselves daily. And when I say check ourselves, it's an individual thing. We don't check ourselves by comparing ourselves to somebody else. If we must compare at all, we compare ourselves to Jesus. So when we check ourselves, let's think about Jesus. How do we match up? We will never match up, but if we must compare, let's compare to Jesus. And when we think about our obedience, let's think about not legalistic things that we must do so that people will know we are children of God, but let's think about what specific instruction has God ministered to us, and how are we doing in obeying that? It is only God who can help us to see our heart's conditions when we ask Him daily. And please note the word daily, because like I said, it is so easy for our hearts to get polluted. The psalmist says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thought. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." That's Psalm 139, 23 to 24. God can heal any heart once we recognize the problem, our disobedience, once we repent from those sins. Then we can see our repentance manifest itself in a changed lifestyle and behavior. The change should be from inside out. Our hearts get changed, our behavior follows. Not that we mask our hearts by behaving in a certain way. That will not work with God. Okay, so the test is to check ourselves, but I just want to give three quick practical things that we can do to actually be sure of the checks. The first thing is, how do we spend our time? Do a quick pie chart, bar chart, write down the times. What do you do yesterday? What did you do yesterday? What are you doing today? Take a weekday, take a weekend day, compare. What time did you spend sleeping? What time did you spend at work, at play, at praying, at worship, in church? What time did you spend in gossiping? What time did you spend on watching TV and movies and videos and social media? Check yourself. Number two, check your heart. What are the things that troubles your heart? What are you carrying in your heart that you worry about? Do you have fears? Do you have anxieties? Do you have relationships with friends, with hobbies, with siblings that concerns you? Are you worried about this? It doesn't matter. Just lift them to God and those things over to God, who is able to deal with them. It shouldn't be us. Jesus carried the cross for us, so we don't have to carry those burdens. And the third thing we must check is, what are the issues that captivate our attention as we go about our daily basis? And I'll give some good things, you know, the issues of racism, discrimination, people suffering, the pandemic, COVID-19, people dying. There are good things that we must think about, but we have to think about them in perspective. Are we more focused on worldly matters or eternity matters? Check yourself. Because if your focus, if your what agitates you, what concerns you, what makes you get out there are things of the world and not things of eternity, then the priority have been placed wrongly. So the test is to check ourselves. The solution is to stay in God's presence. You see, we check ourselves in God's presence, and the solution, whatever we find, we can never match up to Christ. So we want to keep growing. We want to keep improving. So whatever we find as we assess ourselves, remain in God's presence. And there are a few things we can do. We can spend the time in praying. We can spend the time in worshiping God, praising God. We must spend time in studying and reading the Word of God. And we must spend time in quietness just to be still and wait in God's presence, because that is where and when He speaks to us. The adage is true that you become who you hang out with. The more time we spend in God's presence, the more we reflect His character. And when I say God's presence, I mean Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin as we spend more time with Him. I've had it proposed by somebody that the reason many of us run away from God's presence is because we have already determined what we want to do. We don't want the Holy Spirit to tell us otherwise. Apart from conviction by the Holy Spirit, He also helps us to gain godly character in what is described as the fruit of the Spirit. And this is listed in Galatians 5:22-23. You see, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, we can overcome sin through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helps us in God's presence. I want to speak about the Word of God. The Bible is very, very important as our guide as we spend time in God's presence. It's the psalmist that wrote that, "I seek you with all my heart. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." The Bible is our manual for living a righteous life right now, because it is God's breath. It is useful for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, and for training us in righteousness, so we can do everything that God is asking us to do. If we are to live life to the fullest as God intended, we need to study and obey God's written word, which not only keeps our hearts soft and pure, but allows us to be blessed in whatever we do. So, as I've said, the test and the solution, they're one and the same. Check ourselves in God's presence. And then stay in His presence until He moves us to obey what He's asking us to do. Praise God. I want to end this message by citing two practical applications of obedience, which I believe is general to everyone, so we can all individually evaluate how we are doing in those areas. As we all know, all of God's commandments can be summarized into two. And we can read this from Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40. The first is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. The first one is easy to apply, and I've been speaking about what we do in God's presence. How can I say I love God if I'm not spending time with Him? Or if I'm not obeying Him? As Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my command. So we just need to repent if we have been spending our time with other people or with idols that have taken over our lives. We need to draw close to God and rebuild our relationship through communion with Him. We can all spend more time with God. The second practical application, which is to do with loving our neighbors, must be in the sense that we love them so much that we do not want them to miss eternity with God. Our neighbor is anyone that God has brought across to us or alongside us, either for a short journey or for a long journey. We all must focus on building relationships with others so that we can have opportunities to preach the gospel to them. We can all evangelize in whatever way God has equipped us, whether by praying for people, whether by inviting people to programs, whether by sharing gospel messages. Now, the church is asking us, share the messages. Subscribe to YouTube so you can share with the world. The world is sharing with us. Why can't we do the same and just share with people? That's one way to tell people about Christ. So we need to share testimonies. We need to put in practical support when we see people are suffering around us. Let us go in there and offer practical support. And when we do this, when people ask us, why are you helping me? We point them to Jesus. I'm doing it because of the love of God. Because God loves you. So whatever help we are handling, we should try and connect that to Jesus Christ. This is the great commission that God has called all of us into. God has called us to all play different parts in it. But the disobedience is if we are not playing our part. And God has already equipped each one of us with what He wants us to do within the Great Commission. So we must all go out into the world and preach to the world and baptize people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and make disciples for Jesus Christ. Let us all obey God in preaching the gospel to others. Let Jesus Christ come to find us fighting for every soul to be saved, even as we remain vigilant that we do not take our eyes off the author and the perfecter of our faith, our Lord Jesus. Let us preach the gospel, but let us make sure that we remain in God's presence. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.